Hey, welcome to this week's podcast, recorded live at Planet Shakers Church, Melbourne, Australia. For more details, check out planetshakers.com.
Anyone excited for the word tonight? That's good. I'll take that. That's very good. I got the privilege of sharing all day today. We've had such an amazing day. And this is our last service across all campuses for the weekend. And I just believe that God has got a word for us. And I want to share around this thought tonight as something that we felt coming into 2020 that we wanted to see in our urban life groups and focus on in our urban life groups. And it is this: disciplined, determined, and destined. Disciplined, determined, and destined. You might have seen it if you've been on the website. It's there in the Urban Life page. It's on these Urban Life cards that we've been handing out. But now this is not the vision for the year. This is what we want to focus on in Urban Life Group. But of course, we all know the vision for 2020 is the year of... I was just testing all the staff there. No, Vision Sunday, by the way. Vision Sunday is in 2 weeks' time. Let me encourage you all, make sure you're here. It's going to be an amazing Sunday. But I know that this year, through being disciplined, through being determined, and because we are destined, all of these things are going to help propel us into the vision that God has for us as a church this year, into the destiny and the promises that He has over our life. And so I'm excited to share today. Come on, why don't we take a moment to pray as we come around the word. Lord, we thank You for Your word, which is so powerful. Lord, that it is powerful enough to divide between soul and spirit, between bone and marrow. God, it is powerful enough to step straight into our life and cut away the things that shouldn't be there, leaving the things that what's best for us. Lord, You're the best that You have for us. God, I thank You that as Your word enters our heart and enters our mind, it changes us for the better. And so God, because we know that You are good and You are good all the time, that if You are good, then Your word is good. God, we open our heart to You tonight. We open our mind to You tonight. We say, would You come and change us? We give You permission to change our life tonight. God, in fact, we have expectation because of who You are that You would change us tonight. And somebody with faith, come on, shout a big amen. Amen. Disciplined, determined, and destined. I want to start, as we're looking at this topic tonight, I just simply want to start by observing the life of Daniel. If you know your Bible, if you know the story of Daniel, Daniel has an entire book about his lifetime. But Daniel's lifetime really illustrates all of these things. If we know the story in Daniel chapter 1, it says he was determined not to defile himself with the king's food. We see that he was disciplined to learn all the ways of the Babylonians. We see later on in his life that he was determined to pray no matter the opposition that came against him. We know through his lifetime he was disciplined to pursue God every day of his life. He was a man who was destined to make a difference in the lives of everyone in that entire empire. And there's this verse in Daniel 11:32, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. That's a good promise right there. That's something that Daniel lived out. The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. I want you to know tonight, right from the outset, that if you are not disciplined, if you are totally not determined, and you don't live your life with destiny, God still loves you. God does not love you any less. If you're totally disciplined, totally determined, 100% live your life in destiny this year, God does not love you anymore. This is not about earning or qualifying ourselves for God's love. But certainly, as we are disciplined and determined as destined, we get to know our God. We get to know who He is. And the Bible says those that know their God shall be strong and shall carry out great exploits. It's about knowing Him. It's about knowing who He is. It's about knowing who He is to me today. Not that He changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I change. I go through different things in life. And I need to know Him today for what He has for me. Those who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And see, understand, that's good news. Not just that those who know their God will be strong. The good news is this: God wants to be known. God desires to be known by you. God does not just tolerate you. God does not just want you for your money or for your gifts. God was all good before you ever came along. God was good all by himself. And he still decided he wanted you enough that he would pay the ultimate price. He wanted to be known by you so much, not to be known by someone else who you can then listen to. It's all good for you to come to church and listen to me tell you about God. That's good. We get edified together. But God does not just want you to know him through me. Never be jealous of somebody else's relationship with God, because God is desperate to know you as well. He wants to be known by you. That's an invitation for all of us. That's good news right there. That's a point that we should praise on right there. Come on, somebody, if you believe that. God wants to be known by you. Somebody say disciplined, determined, destined. You know, as I was thinking about this sermon and preparing this week, I began to think about, and I've shared about this a few times. I don't mean to share about it every time I preach, but the last few years, I've just been putting a little bit more effort into my fitness and strength than I was in the years leading up to that. And certainly, if you look around this church, you'll find people fitter than me, and you'll find people stronger than me. Not many, I'm very strong. No. Kidding. But I recognize now, at the age that I'm at, I work on my strength and fitness a lot different to how I used to do it when I was 17, 18. When I was young, I'd walk into a gym, I'd walk straight up to the dumbbells. I'd pick one of those puppies up and just begin to do these ones. That's all I was interested in. I just wanted big arms. Never got them, but I wanted them. That's all I was going for. I just wanted to look good in a t-shirt. I just wanted people to see. I wanted people to see my muscles. It's like, Rudy, you have big arms. You're like, really? You noticed? That's all I was interested in. I was interested in what people would notice. I was interested in people recognizing, oh, you've been working out, boy. Let's go. I was looking for the glamour muscles. But the older I've gotten, the more I realize that those muscles don't really help me in life. Like, I don't sit at my desk at work and bicep curl a burrito into my mouth. Again, it doesn't work like that. I don't go home and ask my daughter to lay perfectly still and make sure her center of gravity doesn't move and bicep curl her into my chest. It just doesn't work like that. You know the muscles that are gonna help you get through life? It's basically everything below this point. Strong core, strong back, strong legs. Here's the problem with working those things out. I've never walked into church and someone's like, oh, Pastor Rudy, look at your calves. Impressive. Like, no one's ever said that. It's like, hang on. Have you been doing hamstring curls this week? Those things like a big old chunk of meat. They're like, woo. No one's ever impressed with your leg muscles. No one. But here's the thing. They're the things that are going to help you get through life. And so I've been doing more of that kind of strength and training over the last few years. And in fact, at the beginning of the week, I did what many people refer to as a leg day. I hate leg day. Anyone else hate leg day? Everyone whose hands are not up, you don't know what leg day is, clearly. Everyone hates leg day. Like, we hate leg day. I'm talking about you going into the gym, you're doing those deep squats, you're doing the deadlifts, you're doing the lunges, you're doing the whole thing. And here's the thing with leg day. Leg day hurts. And the reason it hurts is because these muscles here are bigger than these muscles here. So when you make them hurt, you feel it for a lot longer. And the problem with doing it at the beginning of the week is for the rest of the week, every set of stairs that you see make you break into a cold sweat. It's like, ah, where's the lift? And don't even get me started on bathrooms. Like, you can't go to a normal toilet. You have to go to the disabled toilet with the handrails and like lower yourself onto that seat just because it hurts so much. That's a real leg day when it hurts to go to the butt. Anyway, I don't know if you've ever been to the gym and you see those dudes that skip leg day. It's like all they're working out is their upper body. But then you look below here and they've just got little chicken legs sticking out from their shorts. I feel like they're stronger than, they could bicep curl more than I could, but I feel like I could walk up to them and just push them over. Like their center of gravity is just all off. Here's the problem with skipping leg day, is you're out of balance. And it is easier to stumble and fall over if you skip leg day. And you're much more prone to injury if you skip leg day. Now, maybe by now you're wondering, why is he talking about leg day so much? I'm really not. I'm talking about the things in life that strengthen us that probably no one else is going to notice and congratulate you for. But they're going to keep you long and strong. They're going to keep you living long through your life, strong through your life. People may not notice. What I'm really talking about is being disciplined and determined and being destined. That's what I'm really saying. Because when we do those things, people may not notice, but you're much less prone to injury. You're much less prone to stumbling and falling over. You're much less prone to being out of balance in your life. Somebody say disciplined. I want to take a moment just to talk through what the Christian disciplines are. We're going to put them up on the screen. In fact, I want to encourage you to take notes. These are all things that we're going to find in the scripture in some form or another. But these are what we call the disciplines. And really, like we call them disciplines, but I feel like we should call them privileges. These are the privileges we get from being in relationship with God. Some people look at discipline as a dirty word. Call it a privilege then, because really, these are all privileges. The first privilege we get is this, reading the Word. Oh, can I get an amen right there? Reading the Word. How else are we gonna know God's will for our life if we don't know His? So many people come to me and say, I don't know how to hear the voice of God. I got a great way to do it. Open this up and just start reading. You can read it out loud if you want to know what God sounds like. But this is God's Word. God's Word says about itself in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It says in Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It says in the Old Testament, I believe in the book of Isaiah, that the Word of God will never return void, that it always accomplishes that for which it was sent. I said it before while I was praying, that the Word of God is sharp enough to divide between soul and spirit, bone and marrow. The Word of God is alive and active. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things that were created through Him, and then the Word became flesh. The Word is powerful. And let me say this, like I'm about to finish reading my Bible for the first time this year. Started on January the 1st, I'm almost all the way through it. I made a joke to our leaders the other night, I said, I'm almost done for the year, I never have to read it again. Here's the thing, that's how some people treat it. You want to tick it off the list, just like done my duty. But no. I need His Word today. I need to know what He's saying today. It's not that God's Word ever changes. It's that every day for me is different. So I need to know what He's saying to me today. Because someday He'll say to me, you need to forgive. And that's very easy. And the next day He'll say again, I'll read it again, you need to forgive. And I'm like, it's a lot harder today, God. It's alive. It's active. We need to know God's will. Here's the thing, because we're in a world which is trying to disciple us and a world that is shifting and changing. The world is always trying to be progressive, thinking that they're coming up with new ways of doing things when really it's just history repeating itself. And society will try and pull you one way or another way. You want to know what's something strong and firm that you can build your life on, which is never changing, but always good and always edifying and always useful? It's the Word of God. You want to build your life upon something? Build your life upon that. That's something firm. That's the firmest thing you'll ever find. To read our Word. We've got to keep moving. We've got so many to get through. The second thing is this, prayer. Woo! Prayer. What a privilege. We do it here on Wednesday mornings at 7 a.m. I want to encourage you. If you can make it here, you got to come. And don't be like, yeah, I could, but man, it's a real effort. It's an effort for all of us. Like it's 7 a.m. for everybody. We all feel it. But what's powerful is we get an hour of powerful praying in, and by 8 a.m., CL's open. So we're all good either way. I want to encourage something powerful when we come together and pray. Another thing we do as our church is something called 24/7 prayer. It's where you can sign up to it. We'll send you prayer points every month, and wherever you are, whatever time you sign up for, you can pray for those things, because we believe we did it right from day one in our church. But we believe with a church of thousands, we could cover every 30 or 60 minute slot of the whole day, 7 days a week, and have people praying for our church, for our city, for the nations, for what God is doing around the world, because prayer is powerful. But programs and things aside, God wants you to pray where you are. In fact, the Bible says pray without ceasing. Something powerful happens when we pray. I want to encourage you to be a people of prayer. We got to keep moving. What's the third one? The third one is worship and encounter. Worship and encounter. We were just doing it, right? When you come into church, like the first half hour of our service is someone standing up on stage leading you, saying, come on, clap your hands. Come on, lift your voice. Come on, rap a bit, a little bit louder. But we have someone standing here on stage leading us in praise. That's powerful, because praise and worship is powerful. But understand this, tomorrow morning when you wake up, there ain't going to be nobody there saying, come on, get out of bed, jump on your feet, sing the song. Now, firstly, if there is someone there, call the police. That's weird as. Secondly, no one is inviting themselves over to do that for you. No, you do it for yourself. And here's how you can do it. You can just stick an album on. That's wonderful. We record those things. And so you can stick on praise him, however you want to do it. But encountering God, praising him, worshiping him. What an invitation that we have. The Bible says, come boldly into his presence and into his throne room. We got this worship song. We're going to say this. The Bible says this in the book of James. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's the promise. The moment you decide, I want to be in his presence, you can draw near to him. He's ready and waiting. But think about this. Do you really think you're making the first move? Do you think between you and God, because that scripture might make you feel like it's up to me to draw near to him and then he will reciprocate. See, I was thinking about this week, Valentine's Day, and it, probably why I was thinking of it. But years ago, my wife and I started dating. And it came to a point where I'm like, yep, this is the one. And I like emptied my bank account, which was as big as I could make it, but it wasn't that big, but it was as big as I could make it. And I'm like, buy me the best diamond I can get. And I gave it to her and she said, yes, thank God. We got engaged, but then she said that we had to go do this thing. And I say we have to because I had no desire to do it, but she said we had to go and have a photo shoot. I'm like, all right, cool, no worries. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. But I rock up. See, the problem is I'd been so used to having a relationship in private. We would go on dates, just the two of us. I wasn't inviting anyone else. We would hold hands, just the two of us. I wasn't holding anyone else's hand. We would kiss every now and again, just slip, you know, sneaky, little cheeky kiss. Just the two of us. I wasn't kissing nobody else. You better not have been. But I was used to just the two of us. And all of a sudden we went on this photo shoot and there was another person there. And there was another person with a camera. And all of a sudden they're saying, you gotta pose. And I'm like a year 12 kid at prom, yo. I'm like, where do I put my hands? On your head? I don't know. I was so awkward, yo. I'm like, I'm so used to having a private relationship. And all of a sudden, like, it's gotten a lot more public. Now, thank God, as the day went on, I got a little more used to the idea. And then fast forward a few months, and there I was standing up the front of a church in front of hundreds of people declaring my love. What I was saying was, yo, I emptied my bank account for this girl. I'm committing my life to this girl. This is the one that I love with my whole heart. That was my public declaration in front of hundreds of people. It was my act of extravagance. Now think of God. More than a bunch of roses or a box of chocolates. More than a diamond ring. In front of all of creation, he put on the most public display of love. when he said, I want everyone to see. I'm not hiding this. I want everyone to see. This is how much I love them. I could be stripped naked. I could be beaten. I could be nailed to this cross. This is my act of love for those people. This is how much I love them. And I want you to know, before they could ever love me back, this is my act of love to them. We think we make the first move. Come on. Anytime we step into his presence, all we're doing is responding. Saying, God, you really did that for me. Of course I'm going to lift my hand. Of course I'm going to clap my hands and lift my voice and give you my heart in front of hundreds of people. If you want on display in front of all of humanity, of course I would praise you. Privilege that we get to step into his presence every single day. We need to be people of his presence every morning. Be people of his presence. So when you're driving to work, you need his presence. When you're replying to emails, you need his presence. When you're talking to colleagues, you need his presence. When you're in your meetings, you need his presence. When you're raising your kids, you need his presence. When you're having your marriage, you need his presence. Every step and stage of our lives, we need his presence. Need his prayer. We've got to keep moving. What's the fourth one? The fourth one is evangelism. This is one of our Christian disciplines. I want to challenge every person this year. We should be reaching out to people around us. This is the greatest thing that we have here. Access to the presence of God, encountering his presence and power. I want to encourage all of us to be inviting people, bringing people along. Like literally, we could preach entire sermon series on every one of these points. I want you to know that. It's so hard to move quickly. The next one, serving. Serving. If you're not serving somewhere, you're missing out. Some people think that we miss out when you don't serve somewhere. Mm-mm. You miss out. God's good. God will use someone else. But the reality is, the longer you don't serve is the longer you miss out. Bible talks about being planted. Part of being planted is part of being part of the family. It's I'm going to serve. I want to encourage you, no matter what age or stage of life you're at, there is somewhere wonderful for you to serve. You may be a student. You may be retired. You may be a parent of four kids under 5 years of age. You may be a teenager. No matter what age or stage you're at, there is somewhere that you could serve. We want to encourage you to do that. Next one, stewardship. So when the Bible talks about this, it's about how we steward our life, how we steward our time, how we steward our finances. This is part of how we honor God and we're disciplined. The next one is fasting. I know at the moment we're doing praying and feasting, but fasting, obviously the Bible talks about that. Most years we do fasting. And I want to encourage you that throughout this year, fasting is a powerful thing that we make a part of our life. The next thing is meditation. Some people, when they think of this word, they picture putting on flowing robes and finding a hill and walking up a hill and sitting cross-legged and humming. Come on, do you feel closer to God? Stop it. When the Bible talks of meditation, so weird. When the Bible talks of meditation, it's not talking about doing that. Because you've already done the first one, reading the word, now you've got something to meditate on. Let me give you an example. This week, what you could do is meditate on the verse, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Think on it every day. Think on it no matter the situation you find yourself in, no matter the obstacle that you're fronted with, no matter the storm you may be surrounded with, remind yourself of it, meditate on it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is. I guarantee just that one sentence, that'll change your whole week. And then next week, you could pick another one. Nothing is impossible for them that believe. That's another good one. You could meditate on that. You could see that come to pass in you. Then you could pick another one. In his presence is fullness of joy. I'm telling you, something powerful about meditating on the goodness of God. We should keep moving. We've got two to go. Journaling. Now, you will not find the word journaling in this book, but you'll find plenty of examples of it. You'll find people writing down their prayers. You'll find other people writing down their songs. We never know if they were good singers or not. but man, they could write a good song. We find people writing down their testimonies. And this is a great one. And then finally, the last one is learning. Learning. This is a good one, y'all. I have conversations with people sometimes, and they're like, man, sometimes don't you just wish the word was a little deeper? And they come to you and they're like, yeah, I want it to be deeper. You know, like deeper. I just want it to be deeper. I just want to go deeper in God. Man, these people go so deep, their belly button sucks their head in. Like, where are you trying to go with this? It's like, what do you mean by deeper? Some people, what they mean by deeper is, I want you to speak more academically. You want to speak academically? Towards the conclusion of this service, we will come around a time of the soteriology of the Lord, where we get to recognize His Sabbath and His sacrifice as the sacrificial lamb. And then those that would like to give their life, lay down their life in this pneumatological, ecclesiological service. Like, stop it, yo. Some people want to go, but here's the thing. Number one, if you want to go deep, go deep. Listen to everything that any preacher on this stage says and apply it to your life. Just pick one thing a week. Just one thing a week. I'd far prefer to experience God and His goodness than to learn a list of things that He does. I'm not just looking just for God to be contained up here. I want to experience God in all of my life. God is not a God simply contained in knowledge. God is an experiential God. What I'm saying is, God does not just want to be known about, God wants to be known experientially by you. But it's not that we dismiss learning. We do not dismiss learning. You want to go deeper, come to DNA. Once you finish that, do Inner Champion. Once you finish that, do the Tuesday night Bible college course. Once you finish that, do part-time Bible college online. Once you finish that, read your Bible on your own. Like, you can go deep if you want to go deep. But some people confuse learning with academics. God wants to be experienced. Yes, I want to know about God, but I don't want it to be contained here. I want to learn and experience, learn and experience, learn and experience, learn and experience. That's the invitation that God has for us. Man, we're getting so deep in some of these. Like I said, we could preach entire sermons about these things. See, a major temptation when we're talking about disciplines and a disciplined approach to holiness is that people can begin to rely on a regimen of spiritual disciplines instead of relying on the Holy Spirit. I believe in spiritual disciplines. We all do. We want to practice them. But these disciplines are never the source of our spiritual strength. It is always Jesus Christ. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to apply that to our life. I never want people to think that these disciplines are what makes us Christians. No, it is always Jesus. It is Jesus who gives us strength. It is Jesus who gives us grace. It is Jesus who gives us power. It is Jesus who gives us all that we need. But when we understand that within these disciplines we find freedom, that there is a purpose attached to them, that our lives are fuller because of them, that because Jesus is wrapped up in them, yes, we do get stronger. Here's the thing, if you miss a day of doing some of these things, just start again tomorrow. This year, when I say we're focusing on them, it's not like God is sitting in heaven with a report card going, whoop, C minus, you failed today. You better do better tomorrow. And come on, all my Asian brothers and sisters know anything less than an A. That's not a pass at all. Here's the thing. God's mercies are new every morning. The disciplines are not in the way the world would have it and not in the way that your subject teacher is grading you. God is just saying, I want to know you today. Don't worry about yesterday. My mercies are new this morning. If you would encounter me through any and all of these things, He's ready to be encountered. This is how we need to approach these this year. But man, we got two more to get through and just a couple of minutes left. Disciplined. The next thing we want to see in our urban life groups this year and in our lives this year is that we are determined. The Bible says this in Isaiah 50, verse 7. It says, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone. Another version says like a flint. Determined to do His will. And I know that I will not be put to shame. This is such a perfect picture of being determined. That despite my surroundings or the things that may come against me, I'm determined. I'm setting my view upon Him. I'm determined this year I'm going to be found in the house. I'm determined this year that I'm going to go deeper in Him. I'm determined this year that I'm going to take ground and take territory. I'm determined this year I'm going to be planted. I'm determined come hell or high water, I'm after Jesus. I'm determined. I'm putting Him first. I'm determined. The Bible says this in Psalm 92. It says, the righteous flourish like a palm tree. They grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God, and they still bear fruit in old age. You see, this is a great promise. I'm determined to be planted. And the Bible promises us. You can sit down well, if you want. You can say, Sandy, if you want, that's good. Do what you want. It's all good. Chill. Just talk. That when we are planted, we are like a palm tree. And that's a funny thought. It's like, man, God wants to make me like a palm tree. What does that even mean? You know, I was thinking this week when I was a child, there was a tree in our backyard, and the tree used to hang over my brother's bedroom, and it used to drop things out of the tree and used to make noises on his roof, drove him nuts. My brother was hilarious. He did some funny things when we were young. And so he decided he hated this tree. He decided he knew exactly what he was going to do. He took some metal wire, and he tied it as tight as he could around the trunk of that tree, as many loops as he could get it, and tied it off. Because when you do that to a tree and it cuts into the skin of the tree, it blocks any nutrients going from the roots to the tree, and it kills the tree. My dad was ticked, yo. He found it after a couple of days. He was so mad. He loves his garden. He took that thing off. He put all of the things around a tree, like all of the manure, everything you meant to do, and brought that tree back to life. And I discovered that if you do that to any tree, you'll kill it. Any tree, that is, except palm trees. Any other tree, you place a limitation like that around it, it's going to kill the tree. But a palm tree? You try and put a limitation like that around a palm tree, the palm tree keeps on growing, and eventually it busts off that limitation that somebody tried to put around it. And God says He wants to make you like a palm tree, which means doesn't matter the assignment of the enemy against you, doesn't matter the limitation the devil may try and put on you, that when you are planted, you just focus on being planted. The Spirit of God in you is going to bust off any limitation that may try and come against you. But there's more. Can I tell you another one? You watch in a storm. When storms come, crazy storms, they'll break trees off and blow them away. Most all trees, but not palm trees, y'all. Palm trees, they'll be affected by the storm, sure. They're in the storm. But you watch them, they get blown over and over and over and over, sometimes to the point of touching the ground. But when that storm passes, you know what happens to that palm tree? It comes straight back up again. Because it doesn't matter the storms that come against it. When that palm tree is planted, it's not going anywhere. A palm tree can withstand any storm that it may be in the middle of. Can I tell you one more? Palm trees can flourish in a desert. I'm talking not just surviving, they can thrive. They can be in an environment where every other plant would die off and be choked out. But a palm tree, that's just going to keep going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until it finds what it needs and gets what it needs. Because what God is trying to say is it doesn't matter the limitation, it doesn't matter the storm, it doesn't matter the environment. When you plant yourself, when you are determined that I will be planted, God says, doesn't matter what comes against you, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on, somebody stand to your feet and give God a praise right now. Hey, I'm determined. I'm determined this year. I'm going to put God first. Doesn't matter what comes into my calendar. Doesn't matter what comes my way. God is the one that I seek first and foremost. Can I share one more? Sit down real quick. I want to be disciplined. I want to be determined. Finally, destined. Every single person in this room has a destiny. It's different from the person sitting next to you. God created you, y'all. Ain't a person in this world that's a mistake. Don't matter how you came into this world, God already knew. God knew you before you were ever fashioned in your mother's womb. God had a plan and purpose for your life. God has a dream and destiny for you. God has gifts and talents in you that are different to anybody else. You're a unique gift to this world. And this world, yo, we need you. We need what God has created you for. But there is one thing that binds us all together. And I know this because it's all in here. That every one of us is different, but in part, all of our destinies are the same. And we are all destined to make a difference. And the difference we get to make is this. We get to bring heaven to earth. We get to bring the realities of heaven into the realities of the world in which we live. Here's the thing. Last week, Pastor Russell shared this incredible sermon. And I want to encourage you to go onto the Apple iTunes and get the podcast. What in the world is the fourth service? But he shared an incredible sermon about the power of thankfulness. That some people pray like this: God, can you do this? God, I'm asking you to do this. And that's a level of praying, yo. But there's a greater level of faith where we step in and we come and pray and say, God, I thank you. I thank you for doing this. I thank you for doing that. I thank you that this is what you're releasing in this moment. His thing. Some people who are logical thinkers might sit there and go, how can we thank God for doing something we haven't seen him do yet? Well, here's the thing. The Bible says that we are seated with him in heavenly places. That's what he gives you access to. That you have open access to God's throne, to the Holy of Holies. And Jesus, when he was walking around the earth, he did miracles. He was raising the dead and giving sight to the blind and providing food for the multitudes. And he makes this powerful statement one day. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. How could he see his Father doing it? Because he had that access. And he gave access to you and me. So when we put ourselves in the presence of God, we can begin to see what God is doing. Not only that, we're reminded of who God is as a whole. I'm reminded that you're my provider. So now I can thank you for provision. I can thank you that you provide all good things. I'm reminded that you're my healer, that it doesn't matter what the report says. I thank you, God, for releasing healing. I take authority over the things in my life that are not lining up with your will. And I thank you for releasing your goodness and your power. See, this is how we can be thankful. We put ourselves in God's throne and we begin to release what we see.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Planet Shakers Church, Melbourne, Australia. For more details, check out planetshakers.com.